For our Bible study this evening, we're in chapter 7 of the Gospel of John. We're going to look at the entire chapter, and it's a little lengthy, but I need to take the time to read it so we have the complete setting of what's going on. John chapter 7, a message I've entitled, Jesus Causes Division. The Scripture says, after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he did not want to walk in Judea, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brothers, therefore, said to him, depart from here and go into Judea, that your disciples also may see the works that you are doing. For no one does anything in secret while he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. For even his brothers did not believe in him. Then Jesus said to them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify of it that its works are evil. You go up to this feast. I am not yet going up to this feast, for my time is not yet fully come. When he had said these things to them, he remained in Galilee. But when his brothers had gone up, then he also went up to the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, where is he? And there was much complaining among the people concerning him. Some said, he is good. Others said, no, on the contrary, he deceives the people. However, no one spoke openly of him for fear of the Jews. Now about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how does this man know letters, having never studied? Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. He who speaks for himself seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law? Yet none of you keeps the law. Why do you seek to kill me? The people answered and said, you have a demon who is seeking to kill you. Jesus answered and said to them, I did one work, and you all marveled. Moses, therefore, gave you circumcision, not that it was from Moses, but from the fathers. And you circumcise a man on the Sabbath. If a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath, so that the law of Moses shall not be broken, are you angry with me because I made a man completely well on the Sabbath? Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Now some of them from Jerusalem said, Is this not he whom they seek to kill? But look, he speaks boldly, and they say nothing to him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is truly the Christ? However, we know where this man is from. But when the Christ comes, no one knows where he is from. Then Jesus cried out as he taught in the temple, saying, you both know me, and you know where I am from, and I have not come of myself, but he who sent me is true, whom you do not know. But I know him, for I am from him, and he sent me. Therefore they sought to take him, but no one laid a hand on him, because his hour had not yet come. And many of the people believed in him and said, when the Christ comes, will he do more signs than these which this man has done? The Pharisees heard the crowd murmuring these things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Then Jesus said to them, I shall be with you a little while longer, and then I will go to him who sent me. You will seek me and not find me, and where I am you cannot come. Then the Jews said among themselves, where does he intend to go that we shall not find him? Does he intend to go to the dispersion among the Greeks and teach the Greeks? What is this thing that he said, you will seek me and not find me, and where I am you cannot come? On the last day of that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Therefore, many from the crowd, when they heard this saying, said, Truly, this is the prophet. Others said, This is the Christ. But some said, Will the Christ come out of Galilee? Has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the seed of David and from the town of Bethlehem where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. Now some of them wanted to take him, but no one laid hands on him. Then the officers came to the chief priests and the Pharisees and said to them, Why have you not brought him? The officers answered, No man ever spoke like this man. Then the Pharisees answered them, Are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed in him? But this crowd that does not know the law is cursed. Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night, being one of them, said to them, Does our law judge a man before it hears him and knows what he is doing? They answered and said to him, Are you also from Galilee? Search and look, for no prophet has risen out of Galilee. There is an aspect within the nature and the character of the Lord Jesus that many times a lot of people tend to overlook. We, I believe, would all concur concerning Jesus' ability to bring a shattered life in an individual to wholeness. We've seen that demonstrated in Scripture. We've seen where He's healed people. Not only do we have the benefit of reading the accounts in Scripture, we have the benefit of having experienced the hand of Jesus in our own lives. We've seen lives that have been just broken apart, shattered, made whole again because of His working. I think we would also all agree on His ability to produce unity and togetherness within a family of believers. Sad to say that there are occasions when a church family will get in a dither, that there will be some kind of problem that arises that tries to divide the congregation. But if we take those situations, however severe they may appear to be, and we turn those over to the Lord, then we have the assurance that He is able to bring that division back into a oneness, back into harmony. And we've seen that happen many times. Most of that depends on the heart of those who are involved in the confrontation, whatever the confrontation may be. If we truly seek the Lord, then we understand that nothing is impossible with Him, regardless of how big that breach in the fellowship may be. If we truly turn it over to God, if we truly believe that Jesus can make the fracture whole again, then certainly that's going to take place. One of the very first places I ever preached after surrendering to the ministry, my home pastor kind of took me under his wing, and I became his protege, and everywhere that Brother Joe went, he took me with him. And I had gone into the hospital one weekend. I was going to be in for a Friday night and a Saturday night, a minor procedure. And he came into the hospital, and I thought, how great, you know, Brother Joe being Brother Joe. He comes to visit me in the hospital, even knowing it's nothing serious, even knowing I'm just going to be here for a couple of days. And he came to give me some news. He came to tell me next Sunday, which would be the day after I got out of the hospital, you're going to be preaching at the Lorraine Baptist Church. That's the first church that I ever preached. I said, when is this? And he said, it'll be this coming Sunday. I said, you know, that doesn't give me much time to prepare. And he says, well, you know, you've got your Bible. You've got all this quiet time. Just put something together. Trust the Lord to give you something. So I preached my first sermon, which, as I practiced, took, and I was kind of concerned. It only took about 20 minutes. When I actually preached it, it only took about 4. So I preached it a second time and doubled my time. But the situation is the church that I went into, the Lorraine Baptist Church. And the minute I walked into that door, you could sense there's a problem here. There was just a tenseness that you could feel. And I noticed that the folks that were sitting on this side of the church was having nothing to do with the folks sitting on this side of the church. And as we're waiting for the services to begin, as things are moving towards the time to start, I'm starting to get input from both sides of what's wrong with the other side. And that I don't, that they're trying to get me to take sides with the division that's going on. This division got so bad that the Wednesday night after the Sunday I preached, and I still refuse to believe it was my preaching that did it, but the Sunday night after, the Wednesday night after that Sunday, they had to call the sheriff's department to the church because literally fist fights had broken out in the fellowship. As a result, a couple of the deacons had a lawsuit against the pastor. The pastor had a countersuit against the deacons. All kinds of animosity and hatred going on because, and this is the God's honest truth. You've probably heard these stories before, but this is true. I was there. Joyce was there to witness this. It was because this side wanted blue carpet and this side wanted green carpet. And that division had gotten so severe that this group, the blues, would have nothing to do with the greens, and the greens would have nothing to do with the blues. Now that's a situation that if... There never should have been a situation to begin with. But in a situation like that, even one so silly that gets so far out of hand, if you would just turn that over to the Lord, if those people each would have taken a step back and just turned that over to the Lord, and that could have worked out peacefully. I'd like to tell you that's what happened. Actually, what happened is within a period of 6 weeks' time, that church closed its doors. Because they weren't willing to do so. I've been in a number of situations like that. And I'm not going to get into them. Because it's heartbreaking. My point is simply that divisions arise. Jesus is going to cause divisions by His very nature. But those divisions shouldn't be within the fellowship. Okay? One aspect, obviously, that we never lose sight of in Scripture is whenever Jesus went somewhere faithfully doing the will of the Father, faithfully doing what He was sent to do, every time you read an account like that in the New Testament, division arises. Some people believe Him. Some people follow Him. As many or more turn their back on Him and become hateful and try to take Him and kill Him. Now, many times we recognize that outside of the realm of individuals and outside the realm of the family of God, Jesus has always been a divisive force. That's hard to grasp sometimes. It's not His fault. He is not the source of the divisiveness. He's the cause of it, but not the source. The source of it is the hatred in man's heart. The animosity towards the Lord Jesus. Now, basically, that's what this seventh chapter has as its theme. That Jesus causes divisions. Look again at the 43rd verse. That verse says, "So there was a division among the people." Why? Because of Him. There was a division among the people simply because of the presence and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're told in verse 1 that after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee. For He did not want to walk in Judea because the Jews sought to kill Him. Now, it's not that He was afraid of the Jews. He gives answer why He didn't go there. His time had not yet come. And He wasn't going to let anything mess up the Father's timetable. Jesus was not on earth on His timetable. Everything He did according to the timetable of the Father. Now, the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. So, what that tells us is, between everything that we studied in chapter 6, about the healings and the confession of Peter, everything that he did, the followers rejecting him for good. There's been 6 months between the end of chapter 6 and the beginning of chapter 7. Now, I told you previously that there was anywhere from a year back to 6 months between chapter 5 and chapter 6. Now we know, because chapter 6 took place at Pentecost, and now we're told that this is a Feast of Tabernacles. So that's the difference from, in our months, it would be from April to October. So 6 months, we don't have any account of what Jesus was doing. And John does that on purpose. It is not John's desire, it's not his purpose to give us a day in, day out account of what Jesus was doing. He is simply trying to get us to understand the significant things in pointing out that he is indeed the Messiah, he is indeed the Son of God. Now, notice, if you will, what it is about Jesus that brings this to John's attention. Now, again, any number of wonderful things must have happened in that 6 month period that we don't have any account. Any number of wonderful things must have happened in that previous distance of 6 months to 12 months that aren't recorded. John simply wants to focus on those things that will help our understanding of who Jesus is and what he's all about. Now, notice, if you will, what it is about the person of Jesus that caused division. It's kind of sad. As a result of his compassion, people were angered. As a result of Jesus loving people, as a result of Jesus ministering to people in their illnesses, in their need, in the midst of Jesus demonstrating mercy and compassion, people get angry. It kind of defies logic. How in the world can you be upset with someone who goes about doing only good? And that's part of the testimony of the person of Jesus. He went about doing good. And yet even in doing good deeds, which is the only thing he was capable of doing, he causes people to be angry. As a result of his blessing, people get upset. Now, it's hard to imagine again how seeing the hand of God blessing somebody, the hand of God just delivering someone from a difficulty, the hand of God obviously seen in answer to prayer, God's blessing just obviously poured out. Something, for instance, that you can't explain any other way than it was God's blessing upon you or upon that person. And still, that makes people angry. As a result of his revealing divine truth, people became indignant. Jesus never said the first untrue word. Jesus never gave any false information. Jesus never just gave a bunch of fluff to have something to say. When he spoke truth. He spoke the Word of God. He spoke what the Father gave him to speak. And the result is, people take offense at that. Because of love, because of blessing, because of truth, people were divided. It's hard to understand that. In the face of compassion and love, in the face of blessing, in the face of divine truth, there's division. You would think that such compassion would produce compassion. If you've experienced the compassionate mercy, the love of the Lord Jesus in your heart, that should produce in you a desire to be a compassionate person. If you've experienced firsthand even the everyday blessings of God in your life, let alone some special blessing, That should give you the desire to want to be a blessing to someone. If you have experienced and come to know divine truth, that should produce in you the desire to share truth. But alas, enter human nature. And instead of compassion, there's resentment. Instead of blessing, there is selfishness. And instead of truth,